You may be seated, and I want my grandson, Anderson, to come up here. I want to talk to you today about godly moms, a gift from God. By the way, happy Mother's Day once again to all you mothers. This is your special day, and we want you to enjoy it. Amen. Brother Anderson, it costs me money to do these things. I bribe my children and my grandchildren to memorize Scripture, but I want you to tell the people here what Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 says, and enunciate it, please.
Ephesians 6, 1, 2, and 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, and they may be wealthy, and they may live long on the earth. Ephesians 6, 1, 2, and 3.
Very good. Hallelujah. Yes, I tell you, I wanted him to know that because you'll understand it better as I get into my message, okay? But my subject this morning, Godly Moms, a Gift from God, it was God who instituted the family. God loves the family, and so it's very appropriate for us to celebrate Mother's Day today. In our text that I've chosen, Paul is writing to young Timothy, his son in the Lord, and he is reminding him of the faith that this young man possesses. Look at 2 Timothy 1 and 5. Paul said, when I call to remembrance the sincere faith that is in you, Paul said, Timothy, this faith is in you. It dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and then your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is also in you. So I want you to hear what Paul is saying. He is saying, Timothy, you are third generational, and I see something in you that did not start with you. It started with your praying grandmother, Lois. Then your praying grandmother stored up mercy, and then it went over and it visited your mother, Eunice. And Eunice stored up mercy, and now it is on you, and it's going to continue through you to the next generation. Hallelujah. See, God is a generational God, and it's important that we have strong families, godly families, biblical families. Amen. My subject this morning, Godly Moms, a Gift from God. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for how you've already graced this place with your presence. Thank you for the people that are here, the mothers, Lord. I pray a special prayer for those that are not able to be here, Lord, because of infirmities in their body. I release your healing anointing. And, Lord, I pray that the spirit of healing and the spirit of anointing that's in this house, Lord, it will visit each house as we depart here today because the Lord is present. And where your presence is, God, you're there to do great things. Thank you for the privilege to preach the gospel. Thank you for the anointing, oh God. Hide me behind the cross. Let your voice be in my voice, Lord Jesus. Give us a listening ear. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, faith must be taught to each successive generation. And sometimes it's more caught than it's taught. But in order to pass it on, it's important that we have the influence of godly parents and godly grandparents. And that's what Paul is saying in my text. He said, I see a sincere faith in you, Timothy. He said, the sincere faith that you have, it first rested on your grandmother, and then it went over and it visited your mother. And Timothy, because of your godly heritage, you are a person of faith. Now, these two women, Paul's mother and grandmother, they had a sincere faith. It was not a religious pretense. They had the goods, amen. Like I said, sometimes faith is more caught than it's taught. They had a faith. They lived it, and they passed it on to young Timothy. What was the result of Timothy's upbringing? Well, Timothy, he was saved. He became a great man of God, and he became a great leader in the early church. And I want to challenge mothers and grandmothers to live a life of sincere faith before your children and your grandchildren. I want to challenge you to make every effort that is needed to teach them the Word of God. This does not exempt fathers from their responsibility, but mothers, even if There is no one to help you but you. Be faithful, because the future of our great nation, it is dependent upon you. And the two greatest institutions on earth are the family and the church. And these two institutions, they are under the greatest attack that history has ever experienced. Amen. Our nation is in trouble. And we are in trouble because we have ungodly lawmakers who are trying to redefine the family. God has already defined the family. And it consists of a husband and a wife and little children. He told Adam and Eve to be fruitful, to multiply, and to replenish the earth. God ordained the institution of marriage, and God himself performed the first wedding ceremony in the Garden of Eden. Jesus, he performed his first miracle at the wedding of Cana of Galilee when he turned the water into wine, and he was showing God's approval on marriage and on the family. God instituted and God defined marriage. He did not create man to defile himself with another man. He did not create a woman to defile herself with another woman. Our government may pass laws that legislate same-sex marriage, but that does not and will never make it right. There's a higher law. It's called the law of God, and God has already decided what the marriage and what the family should consist of. And I feel compelled, because of strong political climate that we have in America, to give some scriptural reference today to God's perspective on the family. Look at Leviticus 18:22. God's law says this: thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. God already defined the institution of marriage, and no one has the authority to change God's law. There are those who would argue and say, well, that's Old Testament, Pastor. Don't you understand God's love, Pastor? Don't you understand God's grace? Well, I do understand God's love, and I certainly understand God's grace. And I also understand God's law, and that's God's law is God's way of saying, don't hurt yourself. Amen. And God says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Now, I came up under some strong preaching, understanding that homosexuality, adultery, fornication, and premarital sex, they are all sin. We don't need to preach just against homosexuality and fail to mention adultery and fornication and premarital sex in the church. They are all wrong. And people who do these things, they will die and they will go to hell unless they repent and turn from their wicked ways. That is not what I say. That is what God's word has to say. And that's not being mean when I say that. I'm not being judgmental. I'm not being harsh. I'm being very biblically sound when I point these things out. Now, I love to preach on the goodness of God, and all of you that know me know that. But, you know, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. God is not willing that any should perish, but all men should come to the knowledge of truth and be saved. But there's a tendency in the pulpits of America not to deal with things like I'm dealing with this morning. Now, Charisma Magazine, the New York Times, and others have published articles on how religion in America has been dumbed down. Dumbed down. You can go out and Google it. I did. And you can find articles of how religion in America has been dumbed down. One source listed statistics that reveal 50% of the teenagers surveyed in America thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were a married couple in the Bible. Now, 50% of teens in America don't even know that God burned Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and the inhabitants thereof for the specific sin of homosexuality. There is this secular thinking, and it comes to us through the music, through the movies, through the TV shows, and through the educational system that is trying to force us to accept things that are contrary to the Word of God. No, God's Word is the standard. And we need some moms and we need some dads with a zeal for the holiness of God. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Amen. And parents, it's up to you when you see your children being pulled into the mindsets of the world, you've got to pull them back. You've got to pull them back against everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God's word. And another survey, a very recent survey, it was found that 60% of Americans surveyed could not quote 5 of the 10 commandments. Wonder why? Well, we've taken them out of our schools, Pastor. No. Why don't we teach them in our home like we're supposed to? Church, our culture is being dumbed down. The latest research from George Barna revealed that 70% of all Americans support divorce. It also showed that 71% of all Americans see no problem with sexual relationships between unmarried adults. Amen. How did that happen? How did we get to this point in our morality in America? What has happened to our nation? What has happened to our families? What has happened to our homes? And what has happened in the church? Church, this nation needs to redig the wells that our forefathers dug that created a strong family environment. But today, marriage vows, they have been devalued, and the strong family has become a thing called an endangered species. Think about it. Think with me now. The divorce rate is soaring. The traditional family is almost non-existent. We have an epidemic of unwed mothers. It seems as if the heritage of the strong family in this nation is drying up like the wells that have no water. Isaac, he faced a similar problem when the wells of his father Abraham were attacked and filled in by the enemy. Look at Genesis 26:15. He says, "For all the wells which his father's servant had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines, has stopped them and filled them with dirt." Do you see that? Fill them with earth, King James. They got filled up with dirt. Okay? Now look at verse 18, Genesis 26:18. "And Isaac digged again the wells of the water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names which his father had called them. And Isaac's servant digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water." I tell you what, when you get saved, there's supposed to be a well of living water springing up in you unto everlasting life. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if you take one drink of the water that I've got, you will never thirst again. And what he means by that is sin will have no dominion over you. You will never thirst again for the things of this world. We're all tempted. We're all tested. We're all tried. We all are influenced by the culture that we live in. But I had rather have my life influenced by the word of God. I've made my mistakes. I've sown some bad seed. But I'll tell you one thing. I can tell you from experience. The soul that sins does not win. And I came to knowledge one day, and I surrendered my heart and I surrendered my life. I repented of my old sinful ways, and I turned from them. And I said, as for me and my house, praise God, we will serve the Lord. Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You walk after your flesh will betray you. And I promise you something on the word of God, your flesh will lead you to a devil's hell if you let your flesh do that to you. God's word is forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah. And at the entrance of his word, there is light. I'm preaching a whole lot better than you shouting right now. Glory to God. We need strong families in America. We need for our children, we need for our grandchildren to see a fiber in us that, yes, I used to be a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. Glory to God, he took my place. Mercy walked in. Hallelujah. And Jesus saved me, and Jesus changed me. And today my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm praising God as I go, living the best I can, tempted in all points, but praise God, his grace is sufficient where sin is abound. Grace, 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 grace. Go on, praise him. You know what I'm talking about. Grace does much more abound. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I get so full sometimes I can't speak in English. Hallelujah. They dug the dirt out of the wells and they found a pure well of water. Church, the family is under attack. And the enemy has attempted to destroy the family as God defined it. But it's not too late. Just like Isaac, we can redig those wells. We can have strong families. And we will if we will redig the wells that built strong families. Now, I want to give you three things that will help you to restore strong, godly families in this nation. God wants us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And God is a generational God. And God will visit every generation. And it's up to you and it's up to me to pass certain things on to our little children. Number one, the will of discipline. The will of discipline. The will of discipline will produce a strong, powerful family. Look at Proverbs 22 and 6. Sister Julia could quote this one. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. I was trained up right, and I turned and went wrong. But guess what? Those core values, they were down inside of me. And I turned to the Lord. And because of strong preaching that I heard as a young child, I knew that was a cost to the cross. And I used to sing that song. Take up thy cross and follow me. I hear the blessed Savior call. How can I make a lesser sacrifice when Jesus gave his all? Take up thy cross and follow me. Oh, I could hear that over and over. Mother and Daddy used to sing in the church, and they brought me up and taught me and trained me, and I could hear them singing even now. Those songs, they got down inside of me, and they just float up every now and then. Hallelujah. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Hallelujah. Moms and Dad, the only way you can perpetuate godliness is to bring your children up in the way of the Lord. Now, I thought about it. This might hurt some of your feelings now, but every baby is born a sinner. And we are all sinners by nature. It's just natural for a child to be disrespectful, disobedient, and to talk back to their parents. You heard my little story about the cookie thief. You can take and bake some cookies, mother, and you can put them up in the counter there and say, don't touch those cookies now. Don't you dare touch those cookies. And you come back in there and you see the chair pushed up to the counter. You see crumbs all over the place. And you ask little Johnny, did you get those cookies I told you not to get? No, mama, I didn't get those cookies. See, there's a liar, there's a thief, there's disrespect, and it's in us all. We are sinners by nature. And that's why we have to be born again. When we get born again, we become partakers of God's divine nature. We've escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. Amen. Lust will take you to a wrong place. But I'll tell you what, God has a word. And God's word is, come to me, follow me, obey my words, and my blessings will overtake your life. I will bless you going out. I bless you coming in. You're not exempt from the storms of life. But if you will take up your cross and follow me, God said, there's victory ahead. Go on praising for the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. See, it's just natural for a child to be disrespectful. Respect and obedience, they are taught through discipline in the home. Some of you are sitting there, you're going to get married pretty soon. I'm looking at several of you. You got matrimony on your mind. Well, this sermon's for you. I promise you that. Because with the family comes little children. And guess what? With those little children come a tremendous responsibility. And don't let the culture decide how you're going to live. Let the Bible be your guide. We are raising a generation that has no morals because there is no discipline in the home. Parents, listen to me now. You should spend time with your children. Have fun with them. Love them. Enjoy them. Because effective discipline includes a lot of love. We need to have family devotions. We need to have family prayer. We need to have family Bible reading in the home. We don't need to stand idly by and criticize the educational system for taking prayer and Bible reading out of the school system. We don't have prayer and Bible reading in the home. We need it in our homes. It's in the home where godly values are taught. And I promise you, on the authority of God's word, if you will teach them, God will do what God said God will do. I preached a sermon recently, Fighting for Your Family. And I gave a list of scriptures. I started praying those scriptures over my family. And today, praise God, thank God, I can testify that my children have come in. Matter of fact, my wife and I counted 12 individuals when we started praying the word of God over them that have come into the kingdom of God, given their hearts to the Lord. Somebody go and praise the Lord. Amen. So not only is there the will of discipline, secondly, there's the will of faithfulness. Now, I love the blessings of God. I like to preach on it. I love the favor of God because his blessings, they come through God's mercy, and they also come through yours and my obedience. It's through God's mercy that his favor comes. That's where his grace comes, grace and mercy. Amen. And it comes through your and my faithfulness. Look at this, Proverbs 28 and 20. A faithful man shall abound with the blessings. A faithful man shall abound with the blessings. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. Unto him that is able, that he shall supply all our need according to his riches in glory, said that he's able to make all grace abound toward us, that we always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I tell you what, God is a great God, and a faithful man shall abound with his blessing. See, the Lord judges us by our faithfulness to him and to his word. He judges us by our faithfulness to our marriage vows. And he judges us by our faithfulness to our families. He judges us by our faithfulness to his word and to his house called the church. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians 4 and 2. Moreover, the word says, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Amen. See, God expects all of us as stewards to be faithful to what he has called us to do. He expects that of me. He expects that of you. He expects us to use our time, our talents, and our temporal means as good stewards of his mercy and of his grace. Being faithful and keeping your children in the house of God, faithful to God and keeping them in the house, that's being faithful to God. Give your tithe faithfully. Attend the house of God faithfully. Be faithful to your spouse. Be faithful to your family. Teach your children about reading the word of God and about daily prayer. God rewards faithfulness. If you don't believe it, read Deuteronomy chapter 28. He said, if you'll keep my word and if you'll obey my statutes, my precepts, I bless you going out. I bless you coming in. I bless I make you the head and not the tail. I make you the lender and not the borrower. Matter of fact, God said, I'll bless everything you put your hands on. Woo! How would you like that kind of blessing? Well, it all belongs to you as a child of the Most High God, but you got to be faithful. Go on, praise Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Teach your children about the Word. Teach them about prayer. Not only is there the will of discipline and the will of faithfulness, but thirdly, I want to talk to you about the will of prayer. You know, prayer is one of the greatest treasures that we have, yet we do so little of it. How can you say that, Pastor? Because I'm on a prayer team. And guess what? Most of our pastors don't even show up at the prayer meeting. I'm not being harsh. I'm just telling them that they have failed to find what the Word of God has to say. God moves when we pray. I mean, if you want to see God move in a situation in your family, you'll have to put some secular things on hold. You will have to let some of the entertainment in your life go. I've had people invite me, won't you come and do this? I said, no, I've got to go pray. Oh, come on, you can come. No, I'm not going to change my lifestyle. I have a lifestyle of prayer. And I've paid too much for what I got from God to what. Did anybody hear what I'm saying out there? Have you ever prayed the price? Amen. You got to pray the price sometimes. Sometimes you got to fast and pray. But I'll tell you what, prayer and fasting moves the hand of God. And there are some things that only come through prayer and fasting. And if you want to see God change things in your life, start praying. Have a sincere faith, yes, that calls upon God in prayer. Amen. That's the will of prayer. As parents, when you pray, you can help your children just by your prayers. Let them hear the sound of your voice as you pray. Let them hear you as you petition God for their future and for their well-being. Plead the blood of Jesus over their lives as they go to school. Pray for them when they get out of your sight. Put angelic protection around them. Build a hedge of protection, and you can do it through your prayers. Your prayers are powerful. Hallelujah. Pray for them during their rebellious years. Yeah, I've had three of them. There'll be some rebellious years. Pray for them during their rebellious years. Pray for them when they go off to college. Pray that they will marry a godly man or woman. Pray for them. Pray together and pray as a family. Your children are never too young or too old to hear you join them in prayer. Have them pray over the food. Little Sophie, would you come help Grand Jerry preach, please? Hallelujah. Come on up here, darling. Now, we have a prayer in my family. It is now a fourth generational prayer. It started with my daddy. It passed on down to me. I passed it to my children. And guess what? My children have passed it to my grandchildren. This is a fourth generational prayer right here. Now say it slowly so everybody can hear it. Say the blessing over the food.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this food. Bless and sanctify, strength, and nourish our body. In Jesus' name, amen.
Give her a big hand, amen. Father, thank you for this food. We pray that you will bless it, that you will sanctify it to the strength and nourishment of our bodies. My daddy would add, and for the advancement of your kingdom and for your glory. Sometimes we'll add, and for the healing of our bodies. But that's the basis of it right there. That is a fourth generational prayer. I remember when I got saved and started reading the Bible, I said, Daddy, did you know it's in the Bible to sanctify your food? I mean, some of the places I eat, I'll tell you, I'm going to sanctify. Amen. Look at the rating on the wall. Look at some of the people working there. Amen. Better sanctify. I said, you know that's in the Bible. He said, son, why do you think I've been praying that all these years? So when I'm in your presence and you pray a prayer over the food and you don't sanctify that food, you know what I'm going to say under my breath? Sanctify it, Father, to the strength and nourishment of our bodies. Amen. But God is a good God. That's the will of prayer. Amen. Maybe like the children of Israel, maybe others have thrown dirt in your wells. The Philistines had pretty much destroyed the wells of Isaac. But he redug those wells and he reestablished them. Things may be spiritually dry in your family. They may be spiritually dry with your children right now. But you can redig that well. I promise you that. Go deep. I urge you, go deep. Dig as deep down as you can. I don't know how you pray, but sometimes when I pray, I say, oh God, open my eyes that I may see what you're saying here. Open my heart. Illuminate my spirit, God. God, you put a great responsibility on my shoulder. I am to teach and preach your word. Jesus went about teaching, preaching, and healing the sick. I don't need anything in my life that contaminates my life. Your welfare and the welfare of people that hear the preached word of God. If you're called to that position, it is a sacred office. Don't treat it lightly. Walk the best you can. Do the best you can. If you teach a Sunday school class, moms, dads, whatever you do, do it with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength, and do it as unto the Lord. That is a generation of people that are dependent upon you. The Bible says David served his generation well. But look at the generations that have heard the sweet psalms of David. He's at that singing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of the sinner, nor standeth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the waters of life that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Go on, praise God. Get in the book. Get lost in God. Go deep, 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 and dig that well. Hallelujah. Get into God's word and persevere with discipline. Ask God for the strength and for the wisdom to pursue faithfulness. Pray like you have never prayed before. See, we've got to reestablish and empower our families. We've got to do it for our children, and we've got to do it for our children's future. I got a sermon somewhere, your future's on fire. How the enemy came in and burned everything. We're not going to let him burn up anything. We're going to preach the word of God, and we're going to blaze with the glory of God. And we're going to see God do the spectacular, miraculous things, because God is a God that loves people. And Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to see my family in heaven, don't you? And when you redig the wells of discipline, the wells of faithfulness, and the wells of prayer, you will leave your children a spiritual legacy that will follow them throughout their lifetime. And the greatest legacy that you can leave your children is not wealth, but it is a relationship with God. I want to ask you, parents, what are you laying up for your children? We can lay up temporal things or we can lay up spiritual things. You are either laying up mercy or you are laying up iniquity for future generations. It does matter how you live your life, but you're laying up mercy or you're laying up iniquity for future generations. And that's why our nation is in the mess we are in. We have tried to legislate God out of everything. And we're raising a generation that does not know God. That's why kids are strung out on drugs. That's why we have street gangs. That's why we have mass murders. That's why we have road rage. Parents, you are either laying up mercy or you are laying up iniquity for your children. And God will visit the mercy or that iniquity to future generations. It's just that simple. God is a generational God. And if you love your children, make Jesus Lord of your life and make Jesus Lord of your home. You don't just need a Savior, but you need a Lord that will help you. Help you through the storms and through the issues of life. Pastor Rick and I, we're doing a series on Wednesday night, the storms of life. They come to us all. But Jesus said, if you build your life on the bedrock of my word, he said, when the storms come, when the rain descends, the floods come, the winds blow, beat upon your house, he said, it'll stand. You can stand through the storms, through the tests. Amen. Listen to me. The Bible says you are either storing up mercies or curses of iniquity for your children. Now, I want you to look at this verse of Scripture, Hosea 4 and 6. Most of the time, we quote the first part of it. Now, a lot of scriptures that I learned hearing preachers penknife part of the Word of God. But let me give it all to you. Hosea 4 and 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that there shall be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forsaken the law of God. Now look at this. I will also forsake thy children. God said, hey, what's it worth to you to know that I'm going to deal with your children? Amen. God said, in the same manner you treat my word, that's how I'm going to treat your children. Put that back up there. That is. My children, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. There shall be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. That's strong. If you forget God in God's word, God said, I'll forget your babies. That's why we need to redig these wells I'm talking about, the wells of discipline, the wells of faithfulness, and the wells of prayer. That's why no one is so busy that you don't have time to pray, that you don't have time to read the word, that you don't have time to come to church. And that's why we need godly mothers in this nation, because the hand that rocks the cradle is also the hand that rules the world. Moms and dads, I want you to hear my heart today. I want to encourage you to focus on your family. Don't focus on your career. That's my daughter Jennifer sitting there. And I remember one day she was telling me about her career and her husband's career. And they're both college graduates. They both have careers and she has a business. And she was telling me about her business. And I said, Jennifer, I want you to listen to what your dad has to say. I said, why did you get married? To have a career, or did you get married to have a family? She didn't answer me right away, but I tell you what, she began to give priority to her family. And it's made such a tremendous difference. And they're all sitting in church today. Isn't that wonderful? So don't focus on your career. Don't focus on sport activities and entertainment. Oh, we got this kind of ball and that kind of ball, and you can go to the ball game. You can do this, and you don't let it. I tell you what, I went through all that. My kid's going to be in the house of God when it's time to be in the house of God. I'm going to see to that. They're not in charge. You know what the word father means? It means he who is in charge. That's right. That's right. This is Mother's Day. But let me tell you, if you want a good godly home, then get it in biblical order, and I won't even give that to you this morning. It's Mother's Day. But the word father means he who is in charge, or he who decides. And God has already decided. And God put the man in the house with the responsibility to be the spiritual leader in the house. So men, take your position. The father is he who decides. Amen. I promise you, son, if you'll get your life in order, fathers, and your wife will get in order, and your family will get in order. It may take a little time, but God will do it because God has promised to do it. Amen. So redig those wells. Don't focus on your kids' popularity. I see people do some crazy things as pastors. Amen. Oh, I want my children here, and I want my child there, and I want them. Well, you better watch out. Everything that shines is not gold. That's a thing called fool's gold. Don't focus on all that. Focus on your family. Focus on what is important. Our secular culture is trying to redefine the Christian way of life, and they are trying to redefine our values. And that's why I'm preaching so strong along this line this morning. And moms and dads, it's up to you to set biblical standards and to maintain them in your home. I want to end with a story about a modern-day godly family. The pastor and his wife, they were actively involved in full-time ministry. And they had a burden for their children. And they prayed and they fasted, saying, oh God, use my family. Oh God, use my family. And after weeks of seeking the Lord, God gave the pastor a promise. And he said, I have heard your prayers, and every one of your children and your grandchildren will faithfully serve me in full-time Christian work. Well, his children grew up, and every one of them went into full-time Christian work. And he had 12 grandchildren, and every one of them, except for one, became a preacher or a missionary, or they married a preacher or a missionary. There was only one who did not feel led to go into full-time ministry. Instead, he wanted to become a child psychologist. And he went to the university and he studied child psychology. And as a result of his studies and his upbringing, he began to write biblically based books on how to successfully raise your family and your children. His ministry is called Focus on the Family. And his name is Dr. James Dobson. Have you ever heard about him? And even though he did not want to be a part of the ministry, his grandparents' prayers were so powerful that even though he went into another field, God used it. And God put him right in the middle of the biggest ministry to the family the world has ever known, Focus on the Family. And that's my challenge to you today. Focus on the family. Focus on the family. Oh, families are so important. So, church, I encourage you to focus on the family. So don't tell me that you and I right now are not laying up something for our families. And friends, if I were not going to be dedicated and sold out to God for any other reason, I promise you this, I would do it for my children and for my grandchildren. We need godly parents and we need godly mothers, because the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. This is Mother's Day, and I want to ask you, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? If not, the altar's open. Have you strayed away from God? Has God spoken to you this morning? Do you feel a need for the Lord because of your family's future? See, our nation is in trouble. And all you have to do is turn the television on to realize that. All you have to do is listen to the music. Take your phone out. Go out and look up a Christian ministry. And I promise you that it won't be long before a little porn site or something ungodly will show up on that. We're in the last days, church. And if we're ever going to do anything for our homes and for our families, we need to redig those wells. And we need to focus on our families, on our little children. And we need to keep them on God's altar. I want us all to come to the altar, and I want us to just pray. Worship God. Our nation is in trouble. And the future of our nation and the future of our families, that is what is at stake. Pray that God's richest blessings, Father, would rest upon this congregation. I pray, O God, that families will have quality time together today. I pray, God, that the words I have spoken today, God, they will find lodging in the hearts of your people. Lord, I pray for families, because when I asked you what this church was all about, you said it's a loving, growing church, bringing hurting families to a healing Jesus. Father, there are family members, woo, they're not present today, but they're on the way. Glory. Hallelujah. They're on the way, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Glory.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you, Father, can use me. I give myself away.
Lord, I prayed earlier, but I realized.
I give myself.